Looking then at the newer regorafenib data that we have seen on the REDOSE study, and there is now a European similar type of study with some different arms ongoing, from which the European study we don't have yet the data. But that's an important experience for regorafenib, because what we see there, what Tony Saab has published, is that if you start with regorafenib at low dose, 80 milligrams, instead of the approved 160 milligrams, and then after 1 week, you go up to 120. And then eventually, if there's no toxicity, you go up to 160 milligrams. More patients, and that was the endpoint of this relatively small study, more patients can be treated, go with cycle 3 and beyond, in the patients starting with the lower dose and the patients starting with the normal dose. And that's important, and that reflects that there is a bit more benefit, that the progression-free survival time was a bit longer in the patients who started with lower dose, 80, then 120, then 160 milligrams. It's also logic to expect that. If you start with 160 milligrams, what we did in the beginning with regorafenib, and then you see too much toxicity, some patients, and these are end-stage patients who have went already through different lines of therapy, they say, "Doctor, I don't want this anymore. This is too toxic. I want to stop." So more patients stop the drug. And with this drug, which is angiogenesis inhibitor and targets also other tyrosine kinases, it's important that you can keep the patients on treatment. And then you will have a longer benefit. And that's the reason why the data of this REDOSE study presented by Tony Saab at ASCO GI and at ESMO GI, that we see a bit longer benefit with this strategy. Now, looking back to the two drugs, regorafenib and TAS-102, the original data set, cross-trial comparisons, the hazard ratio and the relative benefit for regorafenib and TAS-102 was quite similar. Going then further in a randomized phase 2 study, yeah, we have to stress that, in a randomized phase 2 study, the strategy of starting with the lower dose seems to have more benefit than the normal strategy. It's dangerous to do too many extrapolations, but that's for me an important argument. If patients are fit and can cope the two different drugs, I may start with regorafenib at a lower dose, because then they can have later on TAS-102. If patients are not very fit, and in the clinical judgment, that's only a clinical judgment, we don't have objective parameters, but in the clinical judgment, if these patients will get only one line of treatment and then done, because their general condition is weak, their organ function is a bit worse, I may start with TAS-102 in these patients. So I have patients who start with TAS-102 and some patients with regorafenib. And that's also recent data. We don't have biomarkers. We will never have biomarkers for TAS-102. We don't have biomarkers for regorafenib. We will probably never find biomarkers for regorafenib, like we never find biomarkers for bevacizumab. So in the clinical thinking and the strategy, that are some considerations, as I would call it.
So just to pick up on a couple of points of things you were just commenting on, going back to the neutropenia with TAS-102, what's your vision of why patients who have neutropenia seem to do better? Do you think this is an on-target effect? And if you have a patient who's tolerating it totally fine, no neutropenia at all, would you escalate the dose if you could?
I never escalate the dose if a patient has no neutropenia, because we don't know whether that's really an on-target effect. It's just an interesting finding. I don't have a good explanation. There are some PK data to support these findings, but I will never increase the dose above the approved or labeled dose in these patients.